Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno was a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno was elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised Racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
On the flip side, down there in Gainesville, a team that we battled and I played with a lot of guys got a lot of friends that played there. When Nebraska was struggling, I was getting the calls every week. Call some of my friends, they ain't answering. Like Reggie McGrew, Reggie, where you at, player? I got the AP beat out in the group chat for Reggie. It's great as Monday it is right now. You know what I mean? Here. You know, we've been where Florida's been. Not to the max. Florida, I think, is a little bit of been a cesspool of kind of issues, you know. It's a different thing down there. You know, it's always interesting to keep an eye on how quickly things can change at a place like Florida, because is it the pressure when you compare to Florida State, maybe? Definitely to Miami, who just recently just walked the dog on you. Or is it something that's been brewing? You got to think all the way back to when you had, what's the coach, McEwen, the Sharkanando dude. And then the boosters got mad because his wife went to the booster party and was selling her barbecue sauce. I mean, Florida's had a lot of stuff, like some weird stuff. He was in the pool with a fake shark or something?
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's interesting to see. And then you have the whole NIL snafu and stuff like that. And obviously the athletic director today was supposed to talk Thursday. He's not talking. They got some issues down there. But, it's a hard mountain to climb when there's not any rocks or any traction. And so, you know, I always tell people from Florida, you know, be careful what you wish for, right? Because there's only so many times you can go back to the well and say we're Florida. This is not the Florida of Steve Spurrier. College football is different. And it's definitely not the Florida of Urban Meyer. And quite frankly, it's not even the Florida that just recently Dan Mullen
was
there. You know, it's not a place where you're going to have people knocking on the door unless you're willing to immensely overpay.
You mean the old ball coach ain't coming back?
No, he's in South Carolina.
You know, he's not coming back.
Yeah, I don't think he's coming back, man. And so it's tough down there.
Feet kicked up, visor pulled low.
Right.
Yeah. But somebody needs. You know who else needs to have their visor pulled low? Brian Kelly.
He threw his about 40 yards. If he had one on, it's gone now.
But the craziest part, he had Bob Diaco on his staff. So it's
You get exactly what you.
But I felt, you know, to be honest with you, I felt like their defense, for the most part, played pretty well. I was more surprised at the offense kind of rhythm and play calling.
Well, but I mean, okay, to say I was surprised, no, I expected them to be competitive. I also expected to be smarter than they were. There was a lot of, whoa, y'all really just did that?
Well, I look at when you look at LSU, right? You lose a first round pick or two first round picks at receiver, right? Thomas and Neighbors, and you lose the first round pick in the quarterback, right? Now you're, you know, blessed enough to get Nussmeier back. You know, that's your replace. So you're it's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
You don't really have an established running back yet, but you have an established offensive line in a mentality. You probably have a future second, third, possibly fourth round tight end in Taylor. And you have the size advantage and the mentality advantage of a team that you know that you have to shorten the game. You've watched Utah beat the brakes off of USC. I don't know how many times in a row with probably less talented overall roster.
Yeah, they're not flash. They're something.
Right, right. So if you go down to Vegas and you only run the ball 26 times, that's where you get discombobulated. Yes, you have Lacy out there. He's going to be an NFL guy, obviously. He's really good. And you can throw the ball, but you want to probably use the run a little bit more to really, especially when you had control of the game.
Yeah, that was kind of the woe factor, was they would get on a run. They would get some momentum, and then they would just go, watch this.
Yeah.
And you saw it coming. You went, well, you just had success three plays in a row. You're going to go as far away from that as possible.
So, with question, Brian Kelly by no means is on the hot seat. But let me ask you this. Part of the reason why he left Notre Dame is because he felt like he could have access to more SEC type of, because, right, kept going against Bama and Clemson at the time and getting destroyed. Now, college football is a lot different. So he's at LSU. He started the last three seasons off losing, and quite frankly, all three games they had control in the last 3 years. Wasn't in the playoffs last year. So do you think this is more indicative of Brian Kelly? Or Brian Kelly and staff, or the situation where LSU needs another year or games or two to replenish. Considering this, you can't understate the amount of talent he loses every year to the league. So he's doing something right there. When you got three first round picks, dudes, you're doing something. Maybe some empty yards, but you're doing something right. Is it Brian Kelly or is it LSU? That's the question. Is it Brian Kelly or is LSU?
Here's the result is the thing. Like you get caught up in either this or that, but the result is the thing, and either it works based on your standard, and we're talking about LSU football, so you're within arm's reach of conference title, NCAA title.
Yeah, so that's the bigger question. Right. Here's the bigger question. What is LSU football compared to? Like,
they're neighbors. They better be neighbors with Alabama and Georgia. They are not allowed in the cul-de-sac, on the elevated cul-de-sac.
So are they in the gated community or are they the one across the street?
They in the gated community, because here's the thing. It's the same talent pool. It's the same. You can look at LSU's roster, Georgia's roster, Alabama roster. They're shopping at the same grocery store. And then they come home. The game presentation is the same level otherwise, same expectation that, quite frankly, we expect you. When you come to my crib, you're going to eat better than I would if I came to yours.
Okay.
And LSU fully expects. You know what? Our culture is the same. Yeah, we got some spiders that pop up every now and then, but ultimately we still expect to get our mail same time you do.
Brian Kelly is in the Bo Pelini, Dabo Swinney boat.
What's
always
that?
Good, didn't win the big game. Dabo broke through.
Yeah.
Bo never did. Now, Brian Kelly's in the Bo Pelini boat, where he will get you 9 or 10 wins a year. He left Notre Dame because he said he wanted more. He's not getting that right now. If Brian Kelly, you know, starts winning the big one, I'm going to give him next year, or by the end of the year, maybe he can be Dabo. Maybe he can have a run, because LSU, when it's legit, is legit like any other place in the country, like Bama, Georgia, like DP was saying. Like, LSU can be that.
They have to be careful not to become Clemson. They're on the precipice of becoming Clemson, who feel like they belong in the gate, right? They look at the defense, putting a code in, like, I expect it to work, but their roster doesn't look the same as LSU's. It doesn't look the same as Georgia, doesn't look the same as Alabama. It might be in the Oregon, hey, I think we're elite, but I don't have the hardware to say I'm elite. Oregon hasn't won. They haven't won it. They've won a ton of games, and they're always talented, and they're always good, great.
Yeah.
They're just not elite.
And LSU hasn't really had a sustained run of greatness, right? Saban.
Exactly.
Saban was good.
Yeah, he won double-digit games
two out of 5 years, right? National championship and one from that counts. Les Miles won double-digit games 3 years in a row, taken over for Saban. 8-5, 9-4, won double-digit games 4 straight years in a row. But LSU hasn't had the run like Nebraska, like Bama, like even Georgia's on right now.
Well, but we have to remember that there's only a handful of programs that have the long run at a time. Yeah. At a time. Mm-hmm. It's four and a half on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And then there are those people who are close. They're in proximity. As Jay said, they're in a really good neighborhood. They have access to the gated community, but they need help getting there.
It's just never been LSU's turn.
Yeah.
And it's kind of surprising.
And it's hard for LSU to be in the conversation because Alabama with Nick Saban had that serious run. And then obviously Georgia. I just wonder.
Like there were no Pac-12 teams that belong in the neighborhood.
Not right now.
There are no Big 12 teams that belong in the neighborhood. Texas felt like they belonged in there. Oklahoma, they felt like they belonged. You don't. Your car don't work. Your car don't work at the gate.
With LSU, I don't know. I think it's a process for a coach like Brian Kelly. I do. I think for coaches, because Dabo went through it.
Yeah.
He did. And then he broke through and had the – he had the humility or wherewithal to openly admit, we have to change the way we practice. He did, and he did it. Now, granted, it's different. There were transfer portal and all that. You could just recruit guys and develop them. So he was able to do it at a steadier pace. It's harder now. And I don't think LSU is at this point. I think they're close. I think Brian Kelly is going to take all the heat. But I also think, along with the staff that where you've had guys move up, and, you know, because of your success and leave Notre Dame the way he did, I think it's a process. I think it's a process to get – he's only been there for a couple of years. Now, I shouldn't say only. Was it been three? This is his third year, right?
Third year.
Yeah, so it's his third year. So really just 2 years.
Two losses to Florida State and this one.
So I think it takes some time for a coach like Brian Kelly with that type of personality – and to get down in that, in the kind of earnest stripes in SEC, learn how things operate, because it operates different down there, to see if it's going to take some time before he really, really breaks through.
So are you saying maybe next year, right? Maybe give him a do-over with his first recruiting class. Okay, maybe you don't have the full offseason to get a you know, recruiting class.
I think
class
he's learning.
Together.
I think
next year's year four.
Yeah,
so then your second recruiting class is going to be junior.
Yeah.
Sophomores.
Yeah, junior. I don't think the coffin is closed on this year. I think this, I always say this, this for USC, they had, I hate to even say this, they had more essentially to play for than LSU, which is the hardest thing for me ever to say. Why? You had a coach, right? Out there, if you know people out there, he has his back against the wall.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. I said he might not make it to Thanksgiving, and he got that dry brisket that he had put out there that one time. But I need to leave him alone about that.
He deserves it.
But he had his back against the wall. Now, I'm going to tell you one thing Lincoln Riley did that's commendable. He changed their offseason program. Now, I don't know if it was either he was scared or just felt like, all right, we need to do it. Well, they put up, if you watch the game, numerous guys that really hit the weights and put on good weight, and they put the before and after picture, right? That was all for the Big Ten. That means he recognized, right, a problem. And then when you recognize the problem and you wholeheartedly kind of all it changed a little bit of his offensive scheme, but you have to because you have a new quarterback. But then you know, when they wanted to line up and try to be physical against LSU, they ran the ball with purpose. It doesn't, you know, I felt sometimes with Lincoln Riley when he was at Oklahoma, It was like, all right, I got to call a run play. Okay, we had a 20-yard run, right? The little running back that when we went down there a couple years ago that ate us up, he's with the Giants now. Like, all right, you could have ran him for 200 yards, right, for a couple games. All right, I'll run it. But I have to pass the ball. So, but you have the number one pick. So I think USC prepared the best and better than LSU for this game. I think with the new defensive coordinator, they had an advantage because it's a new scheme and it worked out well. And USC, just for that game. Mm-hmm. Now we need to see it, but I'm telling you, the physicality that they played with and also the attention to detail. And then I'm going to tell you.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
One of the most impressive plays that they had. They were man-to-man defense. They had their slot safety or slot nickel corner or whatever. He was going against number one, who's kind of like a Deebo Samuel type of like a do-it-all, right? He was coming out of the high safety position, right? Out of the post. Now he timed it up, coming down out of there, came inside out, made the tackle on a crucial third and 7 or 8. That would have never happened before. That's confidence in what's being called, confidence in what you've done. And to be frank, they've had to practice physical for them to play physical. More physical than they had before. They weren't getting bullied off the ball like they have been, but like against Utah. I mean, Utah, when they play in that Pac-12 championship, I felt bad for them. I mean, Utah and them, you know, Mau Maus and them Samoans was just bum rushing that team off the ball. Last year, they got obliterated. This year, with this new defense court, at least last night, man, they were hard out for LSU. And to be honest with you, we talk about Colorado, and I felt like they broke LSU. LSU fully expected USC to be the same team, the same breakable opponent, and they would end up being able to run away with the game. But USC looked like they were against the ropes. And then they matched it. And so for that, you know, that's probably more of a spotlight on LSU.
Well, that was Kelly's shock and surprise. I thought we would outplay them. I thought we'd out-physical them.
Right.
Like, that literally what they thought is that they would stare at USC and USC would fold in those critical moments. As he said, we got to figure out a way to finish that, to close that out. Well, if physical was the way, it didn't happen, and it didn't look what he thought it was going to. And then if he thought schematically it was the way, that didn't happen because your playmakers didn't make those plays. And that's what I thought his frustration was about, was I prepared this team to win this game.
This way.
They didn't deliver. And now I got to restructure how I think about it, and two, how we go about it, because it didn't work. What we were doing, what should have worked, didn't work. And for a coach and a coaching staff and for players, when you sell a thing, a message that, hey, if you put in this kind of work, it's going to show up in the fourth quarter against in a meaningful game, and you hit the gas pedal and it don't work, Oh boy. You like, wait a minute. This is a problem because that gator over there is coming to eat and I don't have any gas left in the tank.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. It's interesting just because of the dynamics of it. I bet you that was a long flight home.
I think LSU
fans showed up too. What? They made the trip to Vegas.
Yeah,
and people were saying there's at least 60% LSU fans in the stadium.
And here's the thing: this is that fork in the road moment for LSU, because you can use this punch in the gut to get strong, to go, you know what? This is not us. Like, this can never happen again. There was a time when Tebow said they thought who they were, and then they got punched in the face, and they realized, we're not as tough as we think we are. We need to get tougher right now. And I promise you, I'm going to fight you for how tough we're going to be. Changed Florida football. Nebraska had its moment. You get punched in the head, and you go, you know what? I'm never going to allow this to happen again. LSU, they're a talented team. They have talent.
Oh, no doubt about it.
So then did you need this to get better?
Yeah.
And if you get it right, it's a beautiful story. Clemson went through it. Punched in the face. Got to get it right. Florida State, punched in the face. Got to get it right. Now's the chance. Notre Dame had to change its entire culture because it was tired of getting punched in the face in those meaningful moments. For LSU, this could be it. Or he'll get fired for it.
let me ask you another coach that's a lightning rod. Dabo.
Yeah.
I can't even say anything because it was such a great story of when he first took over. Obviously, coached some of the most exciting players time there. And it's just weird that, last year, I understand it. You didn't want to do the NIL stuff in the transfer portal. I get it. If that's what you want to hold true. Mm-hmm. But after you said, we have to look at it. And he offered four guys out of the portal. Or he said he looked at four players. Four.
You're smarter than everybody else? Is that what is that's the result of being smarter than everybody else? You know what? I don't need the transfer portal. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And the difference between you and them dudes from Athens, Georgia, is the transfer portal. The ability to set a standard and say, you know what? We're going to evolve. We're not going to stay the Georgia we were 4-5 years ago, because them folks kept getting caught by LSU and Alabama.
But see, that's why I think Dabo's always going to be the second, maybe third best coach of this generation. Because guess what? Saban adapted. Mm-hmm. When the game got too fast for Nick Saban, he still won. Yeah. And then he said, oh, wait, I see this coming. We're going to adapt. We're going to adjust. Kirby's done that. Dabo hasn't. And it comes to the transfer portal. But also, Georgia has taken Clemson's spot when it comes to development.
Yeah,
Georgia's developing better now because Clemson's roster is still majority 4- and 5-star players. If you look at recruiting rankings, Georgia's ahead. But not 31 points ahead of Clemson when it comes to talent. So not only is Dabo missing the layup in the portal and not getting guys to augment his roster, the coaching staff's not the same. They're not getting the most out of those players, and there's not a generational quarterback to cover up for some of the mistakes.
Well, playmakers in the portal? Like, you're not going down to do work. If you're at Clemson and you're simply choosing to say, you know what? Jay Foreman's right down the street, but I don't need Jay Foreman. Okay. I'm going to go get Jay Foreman. I'll meet you at the door. Like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's twofold. It's the transfer portal, and as we've seen, that's not always that's not going to be 100% answer, but he does need to address it because you have to. There's holes in there, and you had some guys turn pro early, and particularly, especially, like, you got to also think of the losses that he's had. Clemson might not, it hurts a school like Clemson maybe a little bit more. And this is where people don't really, this is where I'll go to bat for Dabo, is when Brett Venables left, that was like a head coach, that you had two head coaches. He could just focus on delegating and offense. Now, here's where he actually had three head coaches. So you got to think, remember Brett Venables, he turned down Kansas State once or twice, right? And that's where, you know, he had a history there, but he stayed on. So not only was Brett Venables there, and then obviously it was a different time, you were able to recruit at the same level that he is right now, Austin, right? Which, because it hasn't really dipped, right?
Well, Clemson, I mean, it's dipped a little bit. Dipped a little, but used not, to be one or two, you but know, it's with not, Alabama, but he's not 30. Still top 10.
Right, still top 10. And that, and so, but you're able to develop guys with a defensive coordinator and coaches that you knew could get you to that level. And there was a, essentially, that was like a whole team in itself. Mm-hmm. Then also, this is the biggest loss. And I remember when he lost Tony Elliott, who's now the Virginia, University of Virginia's head coach. That was also, remember, he, because, you know, DP knows this a little bit more than you, Austin, is that he kind of, like, when he, when people would ask about Tony Elliott when they were really rolling, he was like, oh, yeah, he's up and coming. He's got a lot to learn. So you kind of, like, kept him in your back pocket. He was ready to be a head coach 2 or 3 years before, because remember, he got turned down for a couple jobs because they were winning so much. So he was able to interview. So you had three head coaches there. And how does that affect what's on the field? Well, now Dabo has to reestablish everything himself, right? Reinvent himself. He's having a hard time to do it, right? Because he's knowing he's got revisionist history, two-time national champ. I should be getting the benefit of the doubt. Well, you're not, because you're getting embarrassed. Now you have two new coordinators that are, you essentially were blessed, kind of like you had continuity there when everybody, Saban was losing guys left and right, right? You lose Kirby Smart. You lost, you had Charlie Strong for a little while. He goes to Texas. You had my man Mel Tucker. You had numerous coaches gone. Lane Kiffin, all these guys gone. Well, you had the same here. And then on top of, like Austin said, you're still top 10 in recruiting, but you're slipping in development. Why are you slipping in development? You had two guys that were masters at development. Tony Elliott was a masterful quarterback coach. This thing of the quarterbacks, he had Todd Boyd, who was before his time. He was a problem. He was a straight problem. Then you had my man. Then you had Deshaun Watson, mm-hmm. right? Then you had the go between my man that transferred to Missouri. What was his
Kelly
name?
Bryant.
Kelly Bryant, who was cold blooded. Then he got a little bit hurt, and then you got Trevor Lawrence.
Mm-hmm. The thing is that Kelly Bryant was he was dethroned, unseated by Trevor Lawrence.
Right.
Trevor was better. DJ Uiagalelei was probably the next Kelly Bryant, but Cade Klubnik wasn't the next Trevor Lawrence.
Right. Or he wasn't even Bryant.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So
yeah, not a Clemson.
Right. No. So that's what problem. Then also you got to think, you had Sammy Watkins, you know, there you had Deshaun Hopkins. You had
Amari Rodgers.
Rodgers there. You had some first round
picks. Renfro.
Then you had the tight end, you know, that went first round. You had some dudes. So he's in a tricky spot, man. Because you want to know what the big problem is, DP? Pulling money from Clemson's alum. And, you know, they were the first to have that Big Red Project over there. Now everybody's starting to, you know, look at their money. And then you got a coach that's...
South Carolina is out working them financially.
Yeah, that was... You just took the words out of my mouth.
South Carolina has stepped up.
Is that SEC money or is that South Carolina money?
That's South Carolina money. You remember that down in there are pockets of South Carolina where the money, it's just like Nebraska. Yeah. There are some pockets of money. Where they go with that money, the assumption that it's all going to go to Clemson because Clemson is where the attention was until they realized that, wait a minute, why are we helping Clemson? We can help the state school. And the state school matters.
Yeah.
It's got some really cool celebrities, right?
And also, let's not forget, Don't think that Dawn Staley and the emergence of the women's basketball, that mothership down there.
And elevated the men's program.
Elevated the men's program. You took the words right out of my mouth. But then also, let's not forget, they play a little baseball. But also, you got to think. I think they finally have come to terms and have felt okay with Beamer. And also, Columbia is a cooler city to be in. If you haven't been there, there's more stuff to do down there. So it's starting to become not the it school, but it's more cool than Clemson.
Yeah, it's absolutely cooler.
Right.
It's got better, like, you know, it's got better shows. It's got better concerts.
It's got everything.
It's got better food. It's got better restaurants.
Right, yeah. You can fly in there without feeling like you're going to, you know, end up in a field or anything. So
yeah.
Dabo's, he's got his back against the wall. It's going to be interesting to see because let's also not forget his quarterback is the one he chose. Yep. He chose him. Mm-hmm. And to put a bow on this segment, I remember being at my dad. He went into the Ring of Fame down there with Jimmy Johnson and Vinny Testaverde. They were playing Clemson. I was like, dang, Dad. I remember riding the game. I was like, dang, you know, it's a sucky game for you to be going in. You're playing Clemson. He's like, no, we're going to win. Klublik, I wouldn't say he lost the game. I know he didn't do what he was supposed to do. I was down on the field. And Dabo can say he doesn't cuss. I seen it. I heard it. Rightfully so. He pulled it when he was supposed to give it to the running back. Lost. I'm sure he repented, right?
There was no dadgummit going on.
Oh, no. It wasn't we talk facts.
Yeah.
It was WTF. Yeah. Are you doing blankety blank blank? And I kind of like was looking
at your mama.
Yeah. All this type of stuff. So tough sledding, but you know what? Those are problems. I always say this. My name is Bennett and I ain't in it. Good stuff going on here in Nebraska. We're going to take a flip here after the break. Talk a little NFL news. Is Ja'Marr Chase, is he standing on business? Or is he just bluffing? I like his attitude, though, man. We're going to give it up. We're going to take a quick break, come back. Jay Foreman, DP Austin, we'll be right back.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.